This is Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. With RJ Bell out, here's Bernie Fratto.
You know, people often ask me, what's your favorite sport? Well, that's easy. My favorite sport is people, because the games are played by people. And then they ask me, who do I root for? Well, that's also easy. I root for the story. You see, behind every sports story lies the hearts and minds of real human beings, and these athletic endeavors often serve as a metaphor for the game we call life. And not only that, you can feed your competitive spirit and enhance your viewing participation if you have a shekel or two on these games, especially if you win. And on that note, welcome back to another edition of Straight Out of Vegas. RJ Bell is on reconnaissance. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance, so visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Now, this is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. You know, Straight Out of Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Channel 83 from 3 to 4 Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern, with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And regardless of the season, know this, as RJ Bell says daily, we promise to deliver the Vegas truth to you every Saturday night. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. Let's go right to the biggest story. Can this really be happening? And frankly, if you're honest with yourself as you watch these Toronto Raptors play, why did anybody doubt them in the first place? Well, I'll tell you why. They were down 2-0 to Milwaukee. Milwaukee was minus 900. Toronto was plus 700. Fast forward just a couple of weeks later, Toronto is now minus 700 to win this series. They're up 3-1. That's basically an 86% probability. And I will tell you that a lot of folks feel the Raptors are going to win this in five. Right now, 84% of the cash is on the Raptors. 67% of the tickets are on the Raptors. Monday night, 6 o'clock, Toronto's minus 3, the total's 212. Most of the folks are on the over. And you say to yourself, is it possible that Golden State could pull off what appears to be the impossible? Well, here's some stuff for posterity. In the Steve Kerr era, in the playoffs alone, on 17 occasions, the Warriors have won three straight games. So they've done it before. Steve Kerr, he's also 5-1 in elimination games. So if you're feeling saucy, you can get the Golden State Warriors plus 500 when before the playoffs started, you had to put up $2 to win a dollar. Now you put up $1, you win $5. Oh, how times have changed. Look, the fact of the matter is, once Toronto went up 2-1, things started to favor them. If you look at the history of the NBA Finals, teams that go up 2-1, they're 35-6. They typically win the NBA Finals 85% of the time. But I will tell you, if this series had gone according to plan, then Golden State would have won Game 4. I will also tell you that sharp people I very much respect love Golden State minus 5 Friday. I believe professional money was on Golden State. A lot of public money was on Golden State. And why not? The Raptors are only 34-37 against the spread after a win this year. Steve Kerr, back to the Steve Kerr era in the playoffs, after a home loss. They were 5-2, this is in the playoffs, with an 81% point differential in those margins of victories, which were averaging 18 points per game. By the way, Klay Thompson was coming back off his injury. And he's only missed 14 games in his entire career. That's amazing. He's very durable. The Warriors were 11-3 when Klay returns from an injury. Just so you know, that when Klay doesn't play, they're 11-13. They win 40% of their games. When Klay plays, they win 80% of their games. There is more evidence. Here's more evidence why you might have wanted to bet Golden State Friday night. The Warriors, 76% against the spread following a double-digit loss. Well, they lost 123-109. And, oh, by the way, 81%. The Warriors 81% straight up and against the spread when they play a game after they've allowed 120 plus points in their prior game.
Well, now, Bernie, quick question for you here.
Go ahead.
I'm a little concerned here, obviously, for the Warriors. You know, the injuries are a bit of a concern. Clay looked okay. How do you assess with Cousins and Looney right now coming into this next game?
Well, I will say this, Sleepy, because you talk about the Warriors personnel, and no longer is this the soap opera series. I call it the soap opera series, meaning before game one, all everybody talked about was, will Durant come back? Are the Warriors better without Durant? Will Kawhi leave Toronto? Well, now at least people are focused on basketball. And you mentioned those two gentlemen, and everybody knows about KD, Iguodala, Clay. What about Kevin Looney? To me, when he got hurt after game two, that was a huge loss that became insurmountable. Look at what happened in game three. No one on the Warriors were able to rotate off the pick and roll and protect the rim. They didn't roll to the ball. And Golden State was constantly beaten on back cuts. Marc Gasol and Pascal Siakam, it looked like a layup line to the rim. It looked like an Ole bullfight in Mexico. The bottom line is Kevin Looney is a tremendous player. He's their best rim protector. He's a great low post defender. He's the only big that was agile enough to rotate off the pick and roll. That is the biggest significance. But there are other things that were just telltale signs. And by the way, Golden State, this group prior to Friday night, Sleepy, they'd played in 103 playoff games. And when they score 104 points or more, their record is 66-9. You didn't think they could score 104? If I'd have told you before the game, Steph and Clay would combine for 55 points. Well, no, they scored 92. Remember that stat we kept hearing? The Warriors, well, 32-4 without KD. Mm-hmm. Well, they're now 1-3 in their last four without KD. And this, you want to blow your mind some more? Since falling behind 0-2 to Milwaukee, Toronto is 7-1 in their last eight games, and they're a sparkling 5-1 versus Golden State this season. Look, the real question is, Sleepy, were there warning signs earlier? Yes, the Warriors swept Portland. But what if I told you that in that series, in that four-game sweep, the Warriors actually trailed 100 minutes? They trailed more minutes than they led.
Yep.
You've also got a situation now. All right, before game four, I don't think Warriors fans should have been too worried down 2-1. They were down 2-1 in 2016 in the conference finals against Oklahoma City. They won in 7 games. They were down 2-1 in 2015 in the NBA finals against Cleveland and LeBron. They won in 6. The Warriors won in 6. And in 2015, in the conference semis, the New Orleans Pelicans had the Warriors down 2-1. They won in 6. You brought up an interesting stat about the 16 full quarters that have been played, Sleepy, already in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the injuries being a concern, but this is one of the biggest concerns for me. Myself and Brad Powers on Friday, we were looking through the games going through quarter by quarter. Well, after the last game, Bernie, Golden State has only won 3 out of the 16 quarters. I thought that was a bit shocking.
Yeah, well, that's not a good stat. And look, neither team, has this been a good series? Someone asked me, I said, well, it's been a very unartful series.
Yeah.
It's been a very, I think at times, sloppy series. Mm-hmm. Look, you might be interested to know that Golden State, during these playoffs, they've employed 10 different starting lineups in the postseason. That's the most any NBA team's had to do in 48 years.
Wow.
Now, give Steve Kerr a lot of credit. He understands this is a war of attrition. And his faith has been rewarded because he's had guys like Alphonso McKinney and Jordan Bell. They've actually done a reasonably serviceable job and got more minutes than anybody thought they would have gotten. The first half the other night was terrible. Both teams were 4-for-30 combined from behind the arc. Toronto was 1-of-13. They missed 13 contested threes. They were 2-of-18 in the first half, but Toronto fixed it. They were 8-of-14 from behind the arc in the second half, and Golden State was only 8-of-27 from three-point line for the game. By the way, I mentioned a ton of people were on Golden State. Yes, 62% of the tickets Friday night were on the Warriors, 76% were on the over, 63% on the money. Now, as I said earlier, when we talked about this dial-a-lineup status and the way that the Warriors have been a mash unit, it really sort of segues perfectly into our first cut of the evening, because in this cut, RJ raises the age-old question, And we know they do it in hockey, a little bit in football, but the mystery around the Golden State Warriors and their relative health, well, throughout the series, it sort of formed the backdrop of a side narrative ever since Kevin Durant got hurt on May 8th during the Houston series. Let's take a listen.
Klay's proven himself to be a pretty tough customer when it comes to injuries. You just got to wonder how much of this is misdirection. Meaning, why don't these NBA teams necessarily want to put out honest and accurate injury reports? Because the uncertainty is a negative for the other team. If Toronto knew for sure if he was going to play or not, it would help them. One, in a weird way, there's this anxiety. They're waiting. And I'll tell you why. I think it fits with the thought process of Golden State, of Kerr, which is we'll suffer a little bit now in order to benefit greatly later.
Klay had never missed a single playoff game before last Wednesday. And frankly, well, I think he could have played if he really had to. But as we all know, the Warriors, well, they're an enlightened bunch, and they like to think long-term big picture. But remember last year in the finals, Klay Thompson suffered a high ankle sprain in Game 1 versus the Cavaliers, and by his own admission, he felt much worse then. But he proceeded to play the next three games. Klay averaged 37 minutes a game, and Golden State swept LeBron and company. But in this cutscene, RJ implies there could be some gamesmanship, or possibly the fact the Warriors are so supremely confident they felt they could sandbag one game while they licked their wounds, knowing they still have the horsepower and experience to win another championship and three-peat while they're at it. Well, it may have backfired, Sleepy, because now they're in a 3-1 deficit. And just so everybody knows, we've talked about this, for 23 straight series, the Warriors have won at least one road game. But in 9 of those series, the Warriors won at least 2 road games. Here's the kicker. In one of those series, they actually won 3 road games. The bad news is that was this series, this year, against the Clippers. And oh, by the way, they they lost 2 games at home at Oracle against the Clippers. So do with that what you will. Coming up, I'm going to talk about what I think was the real turning point in the series and the one player that the Warriors absolutely cannot do without if they're going to end up playing any defense. I want to remind everybody that Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover Match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. I'm Bernie Friday. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
We're back on Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And what does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. By the way, toward the bottom of the hour, you're going to want to hear this. Sleepy's got a bonus best bet having to do with golf. And in case you missed it, earlier in the year, he correctly had Tiger to win the Masters at 14-1. He correctly had Brooks Koepka 10-1. Go back and listen to the shows. They're all archived. He's going to have a best bet for you for the U.S. Open, which tees off at Pebble Beach Thursday. And he'll also have a best bet at the end of the show. And that is going to be off another secondary sport. But let's get back to basketball, because something happened in Game 2 that I think flipped the series on the air, on its ear. And look, we all know the major contributions that the big-time players make, but it's the unsung heroes. And in hockey, they call them the plumbers and the pipe fitters, the guys doing the dirty work that don't always show up in the highlight reel or the box score. And in this cut, see, RJ and Fez talk about one of the real unsung heroes of the Golden State Warriors. And the only thing more distinctive than his name is his contribution to Golden State. Let's give it a listen.
Fez, you and I had a disagreement when it came to Looney. All I know was people were making fun of Looney a couple rounds ago. They're saying, you know why Golden State's in trouble? And the name Looney would come out soon after, right? Maybe the first name, the second name. But you were like, oh, no, no, no. I started looking at this new stat last night, and he looked pretty good in his stat. I said, hold on, hold on, dig in. You gotta really be confident in your numbers. Are you staying behind the position, Steve Fezzik, that Looney is vital? Not vital, but let's say he moves the needle.
Yeah, I'm doubling down on my position. I actually think Looney is even more important than when we discussed on Monday. Here's a guy, Looney, who is number one on the team in plus minus when he's on the court.
So this is the old plus
minus? Old plus minus.
But I thought you've been saying lately the old plus minus doesn't really matter.
Well, the real plus minus.
It matters when it makes your point is what you're saying.
It doesn't hurt it.
Okay. So so the real plus minus tries to adjust for what?
The real plus minus adjusts for who's on the court with
you
when you're
playing.
Well,
first let's be clear. It tries to adjust for that.
It does adjust
for
it.
No. And there's no debate here. It attempts to estimate the adjustment, but unless you know for sure how, I mean, it's circular logic. Unless you can define how good the players on the court are exactly, then you can only estimate it. And the very act of the real plus minus is to try to figure out who's good. So it has to start somewhere, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's agree that it's probably a good, it's probably directionally right, but the real plus minus is not. I'll be honest with you, Jonas, you consume a ton of radio. Daryl, you do too. Have you heard a lot of talk of the real plus minus this year?
No, nah. Just plus minus, just yeah. The regular.
So what yeah. I'm saying is this isn't the fact that you've wrapped your arms around it, Fez, I think it's a wonderful thing. But just because you drive a BMW or a Lexus, or you're not sure exactly. What do you drive?
A BMW.
A BMW, yeah. So doesn't mean it's the only car. All right, so I get it. You got a BMW. You now it's, like this real plus minus.
You made me nervous. It's a Mercedes.
Oh, I was about to say, isn't that a Mercedes out there?
So literally, you know what's funny? I've asked him what car he has twice. He's 0 for 2.
Well, let me tell you this about Fezzik. He doesn't know how right he is regarding Looney, and this was never so evident as it was in Game 3. See, everybody's talking about the loss of Durant, justifiably so, and the loss of Klay Thompson for Game 3. And, you know, frankly, the fact that Andre Iguodala, he seems to have an MRI after every game, and he's nicked up. He's not 100%. But the loss of Kevon Looney in Game 3 really killed the Warriors' defense. That's a fact. Looney is an above-average rim protector. But more importantly, he's got the quickness and agility to switch and help off the pick and roll, and his 7'4" wingspan is actually bigger than Kawhi Leonard's. Bet you didn't know that. And did you notice the clear path layup line Marc Gasol and Pascal Siakam seemed to have in Game 3, especially in the first quarter? Like I said earlier, it looked like a bullfight in Mexico with the Olé defense, and that wasn't funny. Now, no one on the Warriors switched off the pick and roll that night to contest the ball because they couldn't. That also led to Golden State constantly being beat on the back cut. So regardless of the amount of minutes Kevon Looney was getting, know this. His defense was impactful. And in addition to his defensive versatility, Looney has great chemistry with Draymond Green in those offensive sets. You even saw when he returned in Game 4 those lobs, which created a lot of offense. Looney, without Looney, that means more Bogut. That's not a good thing. Mm-mm. And by the way, I'm an encyclopedia of useless information because I thought you might like to know that Kevon Looney is a huge UFC fan. And he spent the off-season workouts learning jiu-jitsu. And he credits that discipline to his great agility and movement. And I'm glad Looney was back in Game 4. Clearly, he was not anywhere near 100%. He's probably about 60%, had 20 minutes, but he made a difference while he was there sleepy. Let's look ahead to Game 5 Monday night. I do not think Kevin Durant is going to be back. One of my moles told me something May 29th. My buddy Todd Furman will back me on this. I sent him a text on May 29th. I saved it. Basically, that the workouts weren't going well. He's still limping. He's a long ways away. If he didn't come back in Game 4, I just simply don't expect to see him. So without Durant, it's abundantly clear that there's one thing, that the Warriors can't will their way to beat Toronto. They've lost 5 of 6. Yeah, I know Curry scored 27 points in Game 4, but he was also 9 of 22. And just two for nine from behind the arc. And a lot of those points were coming sleepy when the Raptors were pulling away. give Klay Thompson credit. He looked fine this first game back, 28 points, but defensive issues. Look, Golden State's 3-1-1 against the spread in its last five road games. And for once, yes, Kawhi Leonard balled, but man, he got huge production from Serge Ibaka. 20 points off the bench with 4 rebounds and 2 blocks. DeMarcus Cousins has been a liability. I think Siakam is outplaying Draymond Green. Toronto's 4-1 in its last five home games, but they're only 35-36 against the spread off a win. I don't really have a side, Sleepy. Do you have a thought on Monday's game?
I don't. You know, one of the things that I thought about as I sat down and went through this entire series was, Bernie, what happens if Iguodala doesn't hit that big shot in the game?
Oh, my goodness. Win? You don't want to think about that.
Right? Do they even win a game here? I do have a lot of concerns for this team right now. Do I think they can come back and win? I do. But, Bernie, I'm going to wait and kind of really weigh my options before I really make a decision.
The total is 212. I'm leaning over. But, folks, as we have always talked about, be smart with your money. Treat this like a business. Mm-hmm. Just because the game is on TV doesn't mean you have to force a play. If you do, half a unit, whatever. You work hard for your money. If you don't see a definitive side, very rarely will you hear me end the show equivocate like I just did. But if I'm not certain, I'm not going to lead you down a rosy path when it's not legitimate. Let's look ahead to the U.S. Open, which I'm really looking forward to, Sleepy. And obviously, after, you know, successfully defending his U.S. Open, Brooks Koepka, he's going to look to join a guy by the name of Willie Anderson. No, that's not Willie Flipper Anderson, who used to play for UCLA and the Miami Dolphins, right? Willie Anderson was the only golfer to win the U.S. Open 3 times in a row. And by the way, if you're scoring at home, and I hope you are, Brooks Koepka, 6-1. Phil Mickelson, he might get some love. He won the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am earlier this year, but he's only 30-1. But this is a star-studded field. Tiger Woods, in case you're wondering, 3-time champ at the U.S. Open. He's 14-1. Dustin Johnson, 7-1. Justin Rose, 16-1. Rory McIlroy, 16-1. Jordan Spieth, 18-1. Could there be a surprise in there? Yeah. Ricky Fowler, he's a 20-1 shot. He's got a decent chance, better than those odds. And Fowler, they say, is probably the best golfer to have yet to win a major, right? But he's been inside the top 10 in 4 majors, so he's been knocking out the door. I could give a bunch of names and numbers and go on, but Sleepy, before we do, talk about the best bet you like for Thursday and the U.S. Open that tees off at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, Bernie, I'm going to go ahead and use some of the same thinking I had going into the Masters with Tiger Woods. I really like Tiger going into the Masters, but I disliked him going into the next major because I felt there was going to be a letdown factor for him.
You were right.
Right, and I also think that being Koepka won the last major, that we might have a letdown with him. I think this opens the door up for Tiger Woods once again. Call me crazy, Bernie. I'm 2-0 here with these golf majors, but I think I could go 3-0 here. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take Tiger. I think he got his fresh breath there. I think he comes into this one focused. He looked good in the last tournament, so give me Tiger Woods 14-1 to go ahead and win the U.S. Open.
Well, that's a good point because after winning the Masters, he didn't play a tournament for 4 weeks, didn't even practice right before the PGA. Something was up there. I do look for him to rebound. One of the big topics that has been in the news and will continue to be for the near term, if not the long term, will be the advent of legalized sports betting across the nation. Well, I've been doing my research, and believe it or not, there are about 14 states that are a stick in the mud that are never going to have sports betting, and I'm going to give you some of the reasons why, and some of them are a bit laughable. But first, I'm a BF, he's a BF, we're BFFs. Let's go to Brian Finley with the latest.
Thank you so much, Bernie. A frenzy of Major League Baseball games to get to from Saturday. The Angels throw the Mariners overboard 12-3. Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, and two other Angel players recorded home runs. Corey Seager had 4 hits and 4 RBI as the Dodgers stunt the Giants 7-2. The Cubs scored 9 unanswered runs to derail the pesky Cardinals 9-4. Jacoby Jones knocked 2 home runs, tallied 5 RBI, and the Tigers mooned the Twins 9-3. The Nationals shunned the Padres 4-1. Brian Dozier drilled a two-run homer, and Max Scherzer struck out 9 in 7 innings. Baseball's laughing stock, the Orioles, hit a pair of home runs as they pester the Astros 4-1. The Blue Jays struggle busted on offense 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position as they fall to the Diamondbacks 6-0. And unlike popular belief, the Mets are capable of winning. New York scales the Rockies 5-3. Pete Alonso slammed his 21st home run of the season. Hey, online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. College baseball fans experienced a 5-hour game between UCLA and Michigan in college baseball, and the Bruins beat the Wolverines 5-4 in 12 innings to tie the best of 3 series at 1. UCLA's Kevin Kendall hit the go-ahead RBI base knock in the top half of the frame. The Wolverines have, well, they had 5 errors, Bernie, from the 9th inning on. That is a circus act, as I send it right back to you, my friend, in the Geico Fox Sports Studios.
Congratulations on your Bruins, 51-10, number one in the country, but they're still one game away in the Super Regionals from going to the College World Series. Brian, I want to ask you a question. I am about to go over the 14 states that it doesn't look like we'll ever have sports gambling. And folks out there, we've got listeners across the country. Listen to see if your state's on the list. But Brian, you live in California. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you rank your interest and whether or not California gets legalized sports betting?
Yeah, Bernie, I mean, whether you like it or not, the gambling avalanche will soon be made accessible in California. I mean, TV executives, they complain about sporting events not getting great TV ratings. Well, imagine if you legalize gambling and then you watch the ratings shoot up, more people have action on the game, and it's going to draw more eyeballs. And I think even you consider horse racing and you can bet on site in California, and how close are we to maybe getting like betting machines inside NBA, NFL, MLB venues where you'll be able to wager? And then when you introduce the prop betting, you'll get bettors not just watching the fourth quarter, but watching the whole game. So more eyes on the commercials, the TV executives will be happy. So then they can go back to duffing it on the golf course.
Well, sounds like you're for it then.
Yeah.
Ryan Bershinger, do you have thoughts on this as a California resident? Do you hope, or on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you put your interest as to the state getting legalized sports betting?
Yeah, give me a 10. As you know, I got to go to Vegas a couple weeks ago.
Right.
We met up for drinks, had a wonderful time. And I went 3-for-4 on my sports bets on my trip, so I've got that bug now. So make it fully legal out here so I can go to places and do it rather than do it.
Look at this guy.
Yeah.
All right, stay tuned to the end of the show. We'll go in Ryan Bershinger for his best bet of the weekend. We'll just step aside. Your name is Bershinger, right? Not Buckmeister or whatever Arnie calls you?
That's right. Yes, yes.
Gotta love it, man. Gotta love it. Sleepy, we were talking off air before I get to this list. You got a buddy in Pennsylvania, and we all know that the Rivers Casino opened, and Jimmy Vaccaro, longtime bookie here in Las Vegas, South Point CEO. Jimmy's a legend. He moved back to Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. but I understand they've had a development in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania actually just, I think it was a couple of days ago, Bernie, they went online where you can now bet online, not just on your phone app, but on your computer.
Right.
From the Sugar House Casino. A lot of people in Pennsylvania I've talked to recently, Bernie, very excited, along with a couple of friends of mine from Illinois and Indiana, just super ecstatic. Everybody I talk to, Bernie, right now, there is one thing that everybody's saying: they cannot wait for football.
Well, it's going to be exciting. Right now, I believe 9 states. Look, let me get to my topic, because there are about 14 states, and what prompted this was Illinois came on board this week.
Mm-hmm.
And of those 14 states, 7 of them, there just is no movement whatsoever for various reasons. 4 of the states I'm going to mention actually have some tribal gaming conflicts, and those must be respected. And 3 have, you know, what I would consider to be sort of a possible referendum required. You know, you asked about Alaska and Hawaii off air. There's just no movement in any of those, or either of those states. Completely inactive, not much interest. But take a state like Idaho, mm-hmm. right? They've actually got state laws written into their constitution that are against gambling, except for horse racing. But here's a clue. If you ever if you think Idaho will get sports betting, good luck. Currently, the state doesn't even allow fantasy.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So if you know anybody that's got a fantasy football team in, Idaho. Tell them to lawyer up, Sleepy. We don't want anybody getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. Now, Minnesota, there's tribal gaming conflicts. And right now, the state, Minnesota, has 11 federally recognized tribes that do not want the expansion of gaming. And their rights must be respected. But that's a serious issue. I don't expect Minnesota to ever get legalized sports betting. Very pessimistic in Nebraska, right? Because the state turned down the right to expand casino gambling at its racetracks years ago. So there's no interest there. And again, Oklahoma, more tribal gaming conflicts. If anything is to happen in Oklahoma, it has to go to the tribes. Now, I wish I had mentioned this with Arnie, because Vermont is also on the list. Arnie lives in Vermont. And when PASPA was overturned in May of 2018, the executive director of Vermont's lottery said, quote, he doesn't know a single person who wants sports betting in the state. Does he know Arnie Spanier?
Does he know anybody alive?
I mean, come on. Are you sure about that? Nobody? How about Washington? Again, in Washington, gambling would first have to go through the tribes to the legislature, and if it passed, then it's got to allow the tribes to negotiate with the governor. So there's all kinds of red tape in Washington. Now, Wisconsin, their state constitution prohibits gambling. And again, heavy tribal influence there. They're said to want to keep that status quo. Wyoming, is there a chance? There's only 3 licensed casinos in the entire state, and they haven't even introduced legislation. So we should really be, you know, feel grateful here in Nevada. Most of the states that we talked about, there isn't the level of interest from the right influencers to even have conversations about this. Mm-hmm. And like I said, in Idaho, Sleepy, they don't even allow fantasy football or fantasy baseball.
Yeah, I think if there's a glimmer of hope, Bernie, it would be, like a state like a Minnesota who has a professional team. You know, you talked about Vermont, Idaho. There's no professional teams within or big major colleges. So maybe those teams have something to root for, or those states, rather.
You know, Sleepy, one of the things we didn't talk about today was the Belmont Stakes. It was very nondescript because of what happened in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
It really sort of killed the interest in the, the traditional, Triple Crown, as it were. Probably the only thing to note, the winning horse today, Sir Winslow, their trainer, Mark Cassie, I believe is his name, he also trains War of Will, who finished way out of the money. But Sir Winslow beats Tacitus. Sir Winslow was 10-1, Tacitus 9-5. Jovia, who led for most of the race, 21-1. Tax finished fourth. You know, not a lot of action today in the race. A few matchups. If you had a $2 exact, it paid like $96. So the 151st Belmont Stakes, sort of in the books. Onward and upward, hopefully next year. And by the way, it's funny because it was a close finish. And the race, I forget which horse they were talking about, had to do a nice job to stay out of the way. We almost had another review or objection or whatever. And we're coming to that point in sports now where you almost expect it.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of the race. Bernie, I wasn't interested. Obviously, you just talked about, the Kentucky Derby being
right.
Yeah, it was a close race. I think the winner won by just like a half a length or one length. So just no interest for me. I didn't place any wagers on the last two events.
I want to remind folks that Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles Card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover Match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. Up next, we can't forget the NHL Finals. Sleepy's got a best bet in a sport not involving football, basketball, baseball, or hockey. You want to hear that. I'm going to weigh in on a play that I like tomorrow, and I want to give a quick homage to an athlete I really, really admire, and I'm betting you do as well. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And before I go any further, I want to give thanks and a tip of the cap to my broadcast team back in Los Angeles, Ryan Bershinger, Brian Fenley, Chris Perfett. Guys do a great job keeping us glued together, turning all the dials so that we can deliver this high-value content to a grateful nation. That didn't sound too self-aggrandizing, did it, Sleepy? All right, as soon as I get home, I'm going to look that word up. NHL Stanley Cup Finals, Game 6 tomorrow in St. Louis. Now, interestingly enough, the Blues are minus 260 to win the series, but they're only minus 115 tomorrow to close out previously aforementioned Boston Bruins and Tuukka Rask. You all know the story. Back on January 2nd, the Blues were 250-1. They had the worst team in the hockey in the NHL. At that point, their goalie, Jordan Bennington, was a four-string goalie. They fire their coach. They bring in Craig Berube. The rest is history. They find themselves one win away from their first ever Stanley Cup. They haven't been in the Stanley Cup since 1970. They're so fired up. John Hamm, a.k.a. Don Draper, a madman, he's right there in the middle of it. Sleepy, I got a feeling it's going to be a wicked pisser tomorrow. And the Boston Bruins and Tuukka Rask in that famed power play that got 7 power play goals in the first 3 games, maybe it was 6 power play goals, is going to return tomorrow and send the series back to Boston.
Well, I have a feeling too, Bernie. I have a feeling that we can probably make a little bit of a pizza bet.
A pizza bet. You won the last one, by the way.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll be 2-0 here. I'll take the Blues at home, minus a little bit of chalk here, but I will take the Blues to close it out. I think it's a wrap tomorrow.
Well, we have a pizza bet.
All right.
Now, by the way, we'll be doing our best bets here in about 4 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes. My bet will involve that hockey game. I'm not going to classify it as a best bet, but I am going to say is I'll give you a side I'm on. If you want to lop on with me, that's fine. But again, as I scan the board, baseball, Monday's basketball game, tomorrow's hockey game, I take this best bet segment very seriously, and if I'm going to classify it as a best bet, it better be. Hold that thought. We'll return to that in just a minute. Earlier in the show with Arnie and Aaron, Aaron brought up the 2011 Kemba Walker UConn Huskies. And I remember that year very well because in the Elite Eight, they ran into an upstart San Diego State team, and they were tied with about 2 minutes to go. Now, that's the year UConn won it all.
I love UConn.
And San Diego State had a kid by the name of Kawhi Leonard. Mm. Now, I had seen Kawhi Leonard here at the Thomas and Mack because I was doing a show here. I did the pre- and post-game show for UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball for many years. And I will just say this. When Draymond Green wishes he was Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul wishes he was Kawhi Leonard. You see, the world has been introduced to Kawhi Leonard. And the fact that he could have this kind of effect is not surprising to me. As I said earlier, I saw him courtside when he was at San Diego State. And even then, he was an elite defender, and I want to share some tidbits with you that might get your attention. First, Kawhi is 6'7", which you probably already know, but he's got a 7'3" wingspan. That creates tremendous pressure on the player he's guarding. Kawhi also has freakishly large hands. They are 52% larger and wider than the average man and roughly the same size as Shaquille O'Neal. Well, that says a lot. Kawhi's hands are always active. They often lead to many turnover opportunities, which Kawhi manages to take full advantage of. And additionally, Kawhi has a 40-inch vertical leap, which gives him the versatility to guard much larger players. But wait, there's more. His defensive fundamentals are tremendous. He's got that classic defensive stance. His arms are apart. He's always looking to disrupt the rhythm of the ball handler when his opponent puts the ball on the floor. And because his anticipation skills are so elite, he's already in the head of his enemy. He'll strip the ball, he'll pick you clean, he'll distract you to the point of losing your composure. Kawhi can also block shots. He can also catch you from behind. And to top it all off, his footwork is so good, he pressures the ball incredibly well without fouling. In fact, Kawhi went 421 games without fouling out, so there's no doubt in my mind there's a causal effect by which Kawhi guarding the top player on the other team has flipped every series in this NBA playoffs completely. If you don't believe me, remember, earlier, Milwaukee had never lost three games in a row all season until Kawhi took matters into his own hands. Now he's got the Warriors down 3-1, and he's averaging 30 points, falling out of bed. That's my homage to Kawhi Leonard. Sleepy, let's get to best bets. We've got about a minute left in the show.
Set your alarm clock tomorrow, guys. Tennis French Open. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play Dominic Thiem. He's going to go up against Rafael Nadal. Thiem played Novak Djokovic early this morning. I watched it, Bernie. If you could beat the number one player in the world, I think he can beat Nadal. I'm going to take Dominic Thiem tomorrow, +350.
+350.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's recap because Sleepy likes Tiger Woods in the U.S. Open. He correctly had Koepka in the PGA and Tiger the Masters. We've got a pizza bet. Sleepy likes the Boston Bruins to lose tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the St. Louis Blues to get their first Stanley Cup.
Oh, yeah.
And he also, you just heard his tennis bet. I like tomorrow the over of 5, shaded over, in the Boston-St. Louis game. I think teams are going to come out flying. I think Boston's powerful, you know, power play returns. And remember, 2-2 is a free roll. Mm-hmm. So if it ends 2-2 or 3-2 overtime, you're going to push. Yes, it's minus 145, but if you must, throw a few shekels tomorrow on that over. I think it's going to be a high-flying, fast-paced game. He's Sleepy. I'm Bernie. That's going to do it for this weekend's edition of Straight Outta Vegas. Next up, the man who casts a shadow like the Opryland Hotel. It's time for the Jason Martin Show.
Straight Outta Vegas!